Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios. Those studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday morning. Yesterday, of course, Women's Day here at the Grace Hour. We know many of you enjoyed that. And we're just getting started with a brand new theme this week. And we will develop that theme throughout this week right here in the Grace Hour. It's having a life that's in balance. And I think that that's something that a lot of believers are looking for. You hear that a lot among believers. I'm trying to find the balance in my life between work and home and ministry. Developing that balance is so crucial. Discovering it is so important. And then living in it through a life of faith rest is just crucial for all of us. So we'll be developing that theme beginning today and throughout the week. And of course, we'll have a message from Pastor Stevens on the Thursday edition of our broadcast, appropriately titled Balance, Balance. And that will be from the 1978 convention. And speaking of conventions, well, friends, it's coming up next week. In fact, things get started here at the Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention with our annual Maryland Bible College and Seminary Golf Tournament. You don't want to miss out on that. If you're a golfer, well, go to the website, register today at ggwo.org/events. And there you can find out all of the particulars, all of the details regarding the golf tournament. But if you're a non-golfer, well, we still want you there. You can be a part of the luncheon that will be available, and that will be $25 per person. And you get the opportunity to hear Pastor Schaller share the first message of the 2022 International Convention at the NBCNS Golf Tournament, which will be held this year at Mountain Branch Country Club, not too far from our location here at the Greater Grace World Outreach Plaza up in Joppatown, Maryland. It's a wonderful golf course. We've been there before, and we're looking forward to going back again. And remember, your participation in the NBCNS Golf Tournament results in money that's raised to help support our international students and give them a chance to study here at our Bible college. So, again, we'd love to have you there. We hope you'll plan to join us. And if so, register today at ggwo.org/events. It's not too late. We're still putting foursomes together for that wonderful morning and afternoon together to get things started at the 2022 Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention. We hope many of you have made your plans to be with us for that coming up soon, just days away now. And we're looking forward to seeing many of you there from around the country and from around the world as well. It's going to be a great time together, and we hope that you're planning to join us. Well, as we mentioned, this week's theme, A Life in Balance, we do want to welcome everyone that's listening live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and of course you can find us on the following podcasts locations: Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, just to name a few. And if you can't listen to us live, friends, remember you can archive today's broadcast on any of those platforms. And we hope you, again, have the opportunity to do that if you aren't with us live on our broadcast this morning. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Ronaldo Brown, just returning from an outreach on the West Coast and joining us here live in the studio today for today's Grace Hour message. And his theme is seek first the kingdom and then everything else will be in order and in balance.
In balance. Wonderful. Great to be here this morning. Spurgeon actually said that. He preached a message, oh my God, a while ago, let's just say that. And that was his thought about life. Seek first the kingdom and all these things are in order. And Pastor Love made a good point earlier. Many of us are seeking balance because, frankly, everything that happened with COVID, among other things, that threw our life out of whack, out of balance. Our schedules got out of balance. Our finances got out of balance. Everything got out of whack. It seemed like nothing was organized, and people were grabbing and reaching, even a lot of Christians, because churches weren't meeting regularly. What they used to do in church has changed. There's some things in life, to be honest with you, there's no going back. There's a new normal. We're not going back to the way things were in every area. So how do I find that balance? How do I find the new balance, reset might be a better word. How do I find that balance? Because as life progresses, as you grow, as things change, as circumstances happen, people come, people go, we move forward in life, it seems like our balance changes. We are constantly trying to find the balance as a single person, then as a married person if you become married, or as a single person then you become a parent, or you change jobs. How do I find the balance? And when I thought about that for a second, I thought this way. A better word might be finding the fulcrum. See, the balance is a proper balance is a result of really based upon the fulcrum. The fulcrum is the thing upon which the balance is measured. It's how it's attained. It's a thing that plays the center or essential role on providing the balance. Or you could say it this way, the pivot. How do I pivot? And we use that word a lot. How do I pivot or balance my life? The pivot for godly living as a Christian. What is the balance? And in Matthew 6:33, where Spurgeon gets this quote about finding the order by seeking the kingdom, that is a great example of the pivot for godly living. That is a great example for the balance. How I find my balance in godly living. Matthew 6:33 says it kind of succinctly. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is the part of the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus Christ's three major messages in the Gospels. And he sticks this in there. It's kind of a millennial message that has a church age application. He says, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's almost like there's a result of an investment. If I make it an investment in the beginning of the verse, it's conditional. It says, seek and you might not. Seek and you might not always do that. But when you do, in your experience with God, in time, you will have all these things added unto you. This pivot is there. He says, seek. And I was thinking about that word, seek, because I'm seeking balance. I'm seeking a pivot. So I'm seeking. And the word that's used there, it speaks about this. It speaks of diligent effort, searching, investigation. And that describes our life. When we see the word seek here, it speaks about our life and investigation. My life is a life of investigation. I'm investigating. I'm looking. I'm trying to learn something. I'm searching. And the way that he says it, Christ says it in such a way that he's saying that this is a continuous thing, that I'm always searching. I'm always looking. I'm never not looking. I'm never not seeking. So he says, keep seeking. And he says, seek with investigation. Do your due diligence. Seek. He says, seek, but as you seek, he adds a different word. He says, seek ye first. In other words, he understands you're always looking, you're always seeking, you're always investigating, but he puts priority in your investigation. Because if there's priority in your investigation, then you will have concentration. And the reason why we don't have concentration is we don't spiritually prioritize our investigation. He says, seek first. He says, seek first. The words that come to mind there speak of specific, speaks of priority, speaks of I would say permanency, speaks of order, speaks of foundation, and that's important. He's saying if you seek this first foundationally, everything else is in order. If I seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness as a foundation for my day, as a foundation for my relationships, as a foundation for my choices, as a foundation for how I live my life before God, the life I live by faith in Galatians 2:20, the life I live by faith in 2 Corinthians 5:7, the life I live in the Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. If that's my pursuit, okay? First Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, if I am exercising myself towards godliness, then this is where it begins. This becomes the fulcrum. This becomes how I find that balance. How do I find the spiritual balance for conflict? How do I find the spiritual balance for sin? How do I find the spiritual balance for relationships? How do I find the spiritual balance for my job, for my finances, for my children? It begins here. What am I seeking? See, if I'm seeking first Christ's kingdom and his righteousness, then I have a different priority than, say, someone else. I don't have to win the argument. I don't have to win the fight. I don't have to get my way because I have a different priority. First, Christ is preeminent. Christ is preeminent in what I'm seeking. He's the first thing that I seek. He's the first one. He's the foremost one. He's the one that's ahead of everything else. So I just want Christ in this situation. Psalm 62, verse 5, my expectation is God. That is seeking the kingdom. It's interesting. We have, as Christians, sometimes we struggle with priorities. Stephen Cole gives this great illustration about that. He talks about a businessman who was teaching a class and teaching students about how they can learn how to be time sensitive. So he took a gigantic jar with an open mouth. And in the jar, he put a bunch of rocks the size of a fist in the jar. And then he shook it a little bit. And he asked the students, is this jar full? And they said, yes. And he said, no. Then he poured into the same glass. He poured in gravel, and the gravel fit in between the cracks between the large rocks. Then he asked them again, is this jar full? And they said, no this time. Then he poured in sand, and sand went in between the gravel and went in between the big rocks. And he asked them again, is this jar full? And they said, no. Then he poured in water, and the water filled in every part and parcel of the glass so that it was completely full. Then he said, what is the lesson here? And one student said, well, if you, no matter how much you fill your schedule, you could always fit more. And that was, he said, no, that's not the lesson. The lesson was, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all. If I don't put Christ in first in my schedule, in my life, in my circumstances, in my conflict, if I don't put Christ in first, I'm not going to get him at all. Christ can't be the add-on later. Christ can't be, well, you know what? Let's talk about this situation and then we'll pray. Let's talk about this situation and then we'll go to the Bible. Let's talk about this situation and then we'll be spirit-led. Let's talk about the situation and then we'll bring faith. But Jesus Christ is saying here, he's saying, I have to be first if you want to win life. I have to be first. If you want to win the situation, I have to be first. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. I have to be first. I have to be first. And I'll close with this. When I seek the kingdom and Christ, and the kingdom basically speaks of the priority of his position in my life. That's how I seek the kingdom. That's when I make Christ the priority and his position as reigning over my life. If there's a kingdom and he has a king and he's the king of my life. So the kingdom of God speaks of the priority of his position in my life. Like Colossians chapter 3 verse 11, Christ is all and in all. And then his righteousness speaks about the priority of his character in my life, where his character begins to guide me in Titus chapter 2 verse 11 and 12. But when I am not seeking the kingdom, when I am not seeking his righteousness, this is my life. I can live like Gehazi in 2 Kings chapter 5. I can live to gain in this life. Naturally, I can live to gain in this life. And that promotes a spirit of ambition or self-promotion. Or I can live like Lot in Genesis chapter 13. And I can live my life not to lose. And that is a life of self-preservation. So when I don't obey, when Matthew 6:33 is not the fulcrum of my life, when Christ is not the priority in my life, I either live a life of gain or I live a life not to lose. And both of them don't glorify God. And both of them are empty. And both of them are miserable. And both of them will put my life out of balance. But as a Christian, when Christ is the priority, when Christ is first, I will always have divine balance for any situation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as Spurgeon said, everything else is in order. If I look for Christ in the situation, everything else is in order. If everything is going crazy, if I look for Christ, everything is in order. And then in the order of God's foundation in my life, God can build. God can build. He can give wisdom. He can open doors. He can give correction. He can give discernment. He can give encouragement. He can put in strength. He can give all these things because there's the right balance. And underneath that balance is the right fulcrum, which is him first. Amen and amen.
Friends, you're listening live to the Grace Hour. That's going to get us, well, it's going to get us started today, friends. A lot more to come. About 45 minutes left in the broadcast. And we have a lot to say about this subject. And we trust that you do as well, which means we'll open the phone lines right now and give you an opportunity to share what's on your heart, what's on your mind. You can pick up a phone and dial one of these numbers. and join us live in the broadcast. 800-338-7060, that's toll free. In all of North America, anywhere throughout the continental United States and Canada, give us a call on that toll free number. And right here in the Baltimore area, where our broadcast comes to you from, we invite you to join us at 410-483-3700. So whether you're dialing that toll-free number or the local number, love to hear from you. And if you're overseas today, yeah, you can join us as well. Again, punch in our country code and 410-483-3700, and you'll join us live in the Grace Hour to share your thoughts with us on the broadcast today. Balance. Yeah, it is something that I think everybody is looking for. I remember in Bible college, that was that's what a lot of the Bible college students years ago were looking for. I'm sure it's still the case today. You know, how do I balance things in my life? Because we're all very busy, extremely busy during these days in which we live. And striking that balance is crucial, because if a life is out of balance, it can create some problems. And I think we could say it's safe to say, based upon Matthew 6:33, kingdom of God must be our first priority. Most of people's problems are what we might consider priority problems. They've got the wrong priorities. And when you have the wrong priorities, we can invite some unnecessary, needless trouble into our lives. And hopefully that trouble will gain our attention, and we'll start to say, wait a minute, maybe this is a direct result of some wrong priorities that I have in my life.
Like the story we talked about, they don't put the big rocks in first. It's amazing. You always assume you can add God later to the situation. God is the add-on. He's the addition. Instead of the foundation, often he's the addition to relationships. He's the addition to my problems. He comes in later. He's like the Calvary. You know, he comes in late to save the day. But if I began the day, then I don't have to save the day. If I began the day with God, there's no saving of the day. A lot of times with balance also, Pastor Love, I think is this other word that's in our head, busy. When I get busy, it gets hard to find balance. When I get busy, I had one lady say to me, she was running a business in a place in Zambia, a small market. She said, you know, Pastor, I'm working 7 days a week and I'm not winning. I said to her, why do you think that is? She said, the devil's in the busies. I don't have enough time to get to church. I said, the devil's in the busies. And you've heard the statement, the devil's in the details. And it's her way of saying that we get so busy, my life gets out of balance. Like you see guys, okay, I'm working 90 hours a week or 70 hours a week, and I'm coming home just to eat and to sleep and go back outside. And there's no balance in my life, or there's no, you know, even this is happening today. A lot of folks are not going back to work at their jobs because they realize it's finally dawned on them that at 75 to 80 hours a week, my life is out of balance. So I'd rather make less money and have more balance in my life, to have some more life, than at 45 and 55 and 65 years old, I'm walking away from a job and I just ate the lion's share of my life and I don't know, I lost everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if there's a wonderful old hymn entitled "I Surrender All." If that's the theme of your life, chances are you've got a life that's in balance. But if your theme song is more like "I Surrender Some," you might have some difficulties that you'll have to face along the way. So, again, I realize that in some instances that's a process that people have to take some time to discover that. I don't think that any of us realize this overnight, but through a lot of trial, error, and probably more error than trial, we came to realize that the kingdom of God has to be first priority in our lives. You know, you go back, I remember the program, I don't believe it's still on, Dr. James Dobson, he was a founder of that broadcast,
Focus on the Family,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it made sense, and we're not taking anything away from that program and all the good that it did. But it was always a little troubling to me, the title of the broadcast.
I see.
Because the focus was clearly on the family. Mm-hmm. I think that God seems to suggest to us that if we focus on Him first, our family will come into focus.
Wow.
I think if you, you know, it's kind of like get the cart before the horse. There's nothing wrong with it, but I think it's easy for believers to say, look, the most important thing in my life is my family. Well, can we say that, or should we say, listen, the most important thing in my life is God, my relationship with God, when that is what it should be, my relationship in the home, the family, with my spouse, children, you know, everything is going to fall into its rightful place.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up, because a lot of Christendom, that is the mantra. There's a lot of churches, Pastor Love, that promote family to such an extent that it's possible, and this is controversial a little bit, it's possible my family could become a god to me. I remember a pastor who said to me, I have no time to study because all weekend I'm at soccer all day, Saturday I've got basketball, Saturday night I've got hockey, so I have no time. And he said, I'm the greatest father in the world, but my walk with God is suffering. And I said to him, because your walk with God is suffering, what are you giving your family? You're giving them your time, but what kind of time are they getting? They're getting a carnal you. And I think they would rather have a spiritual you with less time than a carnal you with more time. But that's a big thing in Christianity right now. Like, churches make that the focus. Everything is family, family, family. There's not a lot of Bible, but there's a whole lot of family programs. We have cookouts, picnics, and those things are great. But are we building believers in those families? That's a hard word. That's a tough word. I think a lot of what Pastor Dobson did also focused on the family was because a lot of people didn't, you know, a lot of people didn't. So now we've erred to the other side, you know, the John 13, we've gone from one extreme to the other, where people ignored their family. So now we're going with just my family. So I'm the high priest of my house. I'm focusing on my house. And to a certain extent, I even met three or four guys door knocking. They no longer go to church. The father just sits home and opens the Bible and says, I'm going to be the preacher, and I'm going to speak. And this is 2022. I'm just going to preach out of the Bible the best I know how to my family. There's no covering. There's no training. It's just me and my family with the Bible. And they'll get something, I'm sure. But they're not going to get trained and discipled, and there's no body life, and it's just a bad thought. I want to be focused on my – it's very narrow, to say it that way.
Yeah, and we're talking, of course, all week long here in the Grace Hour about the subject of balance, and that's what we're looking for. We're not – we don't want anybody to think that we're talking or trying to create an imbalance.
Right.
Okay, we're not saying – because even when you think of the credentials or the outline of the responsibility of those who are going to step in positions of leadership, and you have the pastoral epistles, which give us all those guidelines. It says clearly, you know, how can someone think they'll be responsible for leading God's house if they can't govern their own house?
Yes.
So in that sense, yes, it does and has to be found there first. But in the other sense, not to the extent where, you know, the house of God is neglected. So again, that's balance. And I think that all of us, we have to find that balance in our lives so that our family doesn't suffer, nor does our relationship with God and our relationship to the local assembly suffer. So it's all about balance. Friends, we're opening the phone lines, giving you the opportunity to share your thoughts with us. And I'll bet that many of you have found yourselves where we found ourselves, you know. Where is that balance? How do I discover it? I can remember, as I said earlier, clearly, having long, extended conversations with other Bible college students. And actually, they came to me at that time. We were, you know, in another state and another part of the country, and they were like, you know, how do you find the balance? Because at that time, they were working on a full-time basis, going to Bible college on a full-time basis, recently have gotten married.
Yep.
And then, of course, you start to have children.
Yep.
And again, life can get very complicated. Life can get, as you said, very busy. So to strike that balance is crucial, because, you know, you don't want to, you know, have an imbalance where the family is neglected, and then years down the road, the family, every time they talk to you, well, if you cared for us, if you loved us, if you were there for us, that would have made such a difference.
Yes.
But you weren't. You were always doing your ministry. You were always running around the world preaching and teaching. But what about us? I mean, you don't want that to happen either. So finding this balance is essential.
I want to put this forward too, Pastor. Let me see what you think about this. I also think that the balance is extremely specific. One man's balance is not another man's balance. Be careful of comparison. Be careful of comparison. 2 Corinthians 10:12, those who compare themselves among themselves by themselves are not wise. You look at someone else's life and say, hey, they've got tremendous balance. Or you try to balance your life based on their balance. I remember there was a game a few years ago. We tried to all keep pastor's schedule. we all failed miserably. Because you can't be that person. Number one, you don't have their calling. Number two, you don't have their gifts. Number three, you don't have their experience. Number four, individually, you're not them. Number five, you don't have their circumstances that they have. So maybe for them, this is the balance for them, and it's God. That's why it's like seeking the kingdom for them might lead them down a journey that's so different from you. And I've got to be careful that I don't think that I'm less spiritual because I don't do what you do. And I got to also be careful that I don't try to be who I'm not. I've got to be who I am in Christ and be led by the Holy Spirit and what God has for me, which is why he's very clear here, seek the kingdom. You got to be careful of imitation, competition, comparison. These are not words of seeking the kingdom. These are words of the flesh. I got to be so careful. We teach people to walk with God, not to copy people. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow the Christ in me. And that's important because they'll take a series like this on balance and say, okay, I want to live like Pastor Love because he has balance. First of all, you don't know who has balance. You have no idea. You might look at someone's life and say, hey, they look very, and meanwhile, inside they're a basket case. But you say, oh, how do you balance it? Maybe I'm not balancing it. So you're on the outside looking in. Number two, they're not you. It's great how God is using them, but I want to be led by God how I'm being led. And then number three, okay, God, I'm growing in balance. And give yourself some mercy. We didn't just step out of here and instantly have balance. This is a fluid thing. Balance changes as circumstances change. Often you get this idea of us being in a boat in the world. It's like an ocean. And as the ocean moves, the boat moves with the ocean. It manages to keep itself afloat based upon its movement. It's flexible. We have a measure of spiritual flexibility. There's maybe 5 years ago, what you're doing today, you couldn't have done 5 years ago. You didn't have the maturity. You didn't have the capacity. You didn't have the discernment and you didn't have the spirit leading, but now you're doing more and you have balance for it because you have capacity for it. I kind of think that as you walk with God, as God gives you capacity, you have greater balance for more things. It's like, you know, even in the natural, okay, I'm a single guy. Now I'm married. Okay, then my life is different, but I find the balance for that. Then I'm a parent. Okay, then I find the balance for that. But give yourself time to grow. You're not going to read a Bible verse and instantly have balance. You're not going to have a conversation with one person. Oh, I talked to Pastor Love, and now I've got balance. It's going to be progressive. Why? Because balance is kind of a revelation. That's the word that's not written here in John and Matthew 6:33. As I seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, there's a revelation of all these things. God is unveiling these things to me. And revelation in the Bible is always progressive, which means it's in the future. It's slowly unfolded to me. So I might not have it today, but if I'm seeking the kingdom, the areas in my life where I don't have balance, I can grow and get balance. I can grow.
Mm. And of course, the context of Matthew 6:33 are all of the, as you mentioned earlier, the details of life, mm-hmm. All of the needs that we have in life. What about food? What mm-hmm. about clothing? What about housing? Again, all of that Jesus put in the context of, and he said this repeatedly throughout that portion in the Sermon on the Mount, take no thought.
Yes.
Because if we do take thought for all of those things on a consistent, habitual basis, the results are going to be a lot of anxiety, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is just, you know, counterproductive to the rest that God wants us to experience as we walk with him. But again, really everything comes down to that. I think every believer's life themes verse could be Matthew 6:33.
Yeah.
Because it just, if things get out of whack in mm-hmm. our lives, mm-hmm. I often just go back to Matthew 6:33.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask myself, have I been seeking first the kingdom of God? And usually the answer is no. I have let other priorities creep into my life. And again, to go back to that principle, having a godly scale of priorities is crucial to help keep away the priority problems that try to find their way into our lives. Well, we have a caller ready to join us from up in Massachusetts, our good friend John Douse. John, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, we had the missions conference at our church in Marlboro this past weekend. The theme was lifting up Christ from the earth to draw all men to him. Mm. How to lift Christ up from the earth.
Say that again, John.
The theme of the missions conference was to lift Christ up from the earth.
Yeah.
How do we lift Christ up?
Well, we should be asking you. You were at the conference. You should be telling us how we lift up Christ. Kind of give us the essence of what was spoken about and what the messages were all about.
You know, Pastor Shabelli spoke about lifting Christ up, about making him first, about talking about what you're talking about, you know, filling our life up with him.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what it's all about?
Yes.
Think about it. There's a marquee out in front of the movie theater. And always remember that the only name on the marquee of life for you and I is Jesus.
Amen.
If our names are there, nobody's going to be drawn to God. Nobody's life is going to be changed or altered. But if Christ is exalted, then we're going to see some wonderful things happen. And this was the essence of the Apostle Paul's life. You think about it. He spent most of his life basically talking about himself, exalting himself, telling everybody who he was and his religious background and his religious training and his zeal for God and his desire. And, you know, it wasn't until the road to Damascus and what happened there. Well, Christ met him. And what happened to Paul? He was blinded. Mm. Yeah. Now he was blind to his own merit, his own works, his own efforts, his own religious background, his own resume. And before you know it, all he would talk about was Jesus. We got to be blind to ourselves so that our eyes can be open to see Christ in him alone. And then Paul spent the rest of his life not talking about himself, but exalting Christ.
Yep.
So again, lifting him up in a very practical way in our conversations with other people, in our fellowship and communion with other believers. Again, if we don't do that, then chances are we're going to end up talking about ourselves. We're going to end up talking about our problems, our difficulties, our challenges. And that's not going to edify anyone. But when we keep Christ central and we implement this principle that we're discussing today, Matthew 6:33, just as Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, John.
You're doing a great job.
We appreciate the encouraging words.
Yes.
Phone lines are open, friends, and just like John did, you can pick up a phone and join us live, 800-338-7060, toll-free in North America and locally in the Baltimore area. You can join us at 410-483-3700.
You ever notice whenever you feel out of balance, the last thing you adjust is you? You want to organize your house, organize your schedule, organize your car. You go do all these different things. And what's interesting about this verse is he's not talking about organizing your life. He's talking about organizing you, and specifically the way you think. Like he says, take no thought 4 times in the chapter. But then in verse 33, he says, but think. So he's like, don't think that. Don't think about those things. Think about this thing or think this way. Instead of me trying to worry about all those things, because imagine if you had the food, you took thought for the barn, you took thought for all those things, how tall you are, you considered all those thoughts, but inside you were confused, nothing solved. But if you get your head right, then your life is right. If I get my focus right, then it doesn't matter about the externals. Okay, so-and-so doesn't like me, and they can continue not to like me, but I'm good. Because I'm seeking the kingdom, or I don't have to win this situation. I'm good. because I'm considering Christ. He's the priority. This is what I'm looking for. So the interior, God is always in every situation. The first person he wants to change is me. That's the first person he wants to change. He wants to change me. And the first part of me he wants to change is the way I think. Because that's where victory begins. It begins in my thinking. If he can change my mind, that's what really repentance is. It is a change in my thinking. Metanoia. My mind does a 180. So he changes how I think. Then when he changes how I think, he changes how I choose and respond. And then no matter what's happening against me, I have his mind for it. I can think with him about, I can pivot. And that's the word I was going to say. It's like, adjustment. Something happens. Okay. Matthew 6:33. Instead of trying to solve the problem, solve people's problems, fix it. We always want to come in and fix it. When they come in and fix people's lives, change people's situation, I need correction, I need fixing. I just need to think with God. That's job one. Remember that devotion by Dr. Stevens, thinking with God? I just need to think with God. And when I think with God, the beginning of that is what? I begin to seek his mind, his kingdom, his righteousness. And then as a foundational thought, God adds to that. God adds the peace. He adds the satisfaction. He adds the comfort. He adds all those things. He even adds wisdom. Because God can't give you wisdom when you don't think with him. It's got to be a start somewhere. So what are you, like the disciples, Jesus asked the disciples in John 1:38, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Where are you going? What are you seeking?
Good stuff. And I like that, you know, the first person God wants to change is me. We've all been in church service, listened to a message, and thought, well, we started to look around. So-and-so here, they really need this. Mm-hmm. You know, I know somebody who needs it. Well, we need it. It's got to start with us.
Yeah.
Let the message of God speak to our hearts first and deal with us, and then we can share it with others. But all too often, I'll hear a message and think, is so-and-so here? They really need this right now.
They could use that message. This is your life verse.
Yeah, it's like the Holy Spirit says, well, it is for them, but first and foremost, it's for you. We have another call joining us from New York City. Pastor Johnny Cooper is joining us live on the Grace Hour. Pastor Cooper, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love, Pastor Ronaldo. Well, great, great message and fellowship there in the studio. I had a question.
Yes.
I love that illustration, Pastor Brown, of the fulcrum. You know, as a trainer, we like studied, you know, the fulcrum and levers, length of levers and so forth. And based upon where the fulcrum is, mm-hmm. it can cause an imbalance.
That's good.
So, you know, I was thinking of it in light of the fulcrum being centered properly would be based upon the finished work and the grace of God, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Is that proper thinking?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Because you're right about, I've got to be careful of the point of pivot. You're talking about if I move the point of the pivot, I have an imbalance. And maybe, for instance, I'm seeking the kingdom in the flesh. Then my fulcrum's in the wrong place. I can be legalistic. Or maybe I'm seeking it completely outside of God's proper order. Once again, it's not in the right place, but the proper pivot point is the cross. You're exactly right. So then on that, there's the balance. So I'm seeking the kingdom through my access in Romans 5:1-5:2 through the cross. Then I've got the right balance, right?
Yeah. And so, the second part of my question is like where the Lord hates an unjust weight.
Wow.
Can you share about, you know, how that connects? It's just beautiful. I love what's being communicated and these questions like popped up on my mind in a fresh application.
Pastor Cooper, can I take a note on that? Friday, Pastor Shibeli will be on the program, and he's going to deal with that in detail. So I don't want to steal any of his thunder at all.
Mm. Oh, the unjust weight?
Yes, sir.
Well, Pastor Cooper, we could just throw this out to you that, again, this was something that when people went to the marketplace and to make a purchase, those purchases were always determined based upon a scale. And what the owner of that market might do is create an improper weight balance so that he's robbing his potential customers. And this was something, this was dishonesty. This was deceitfulness. This was sin. And God said that he hated it. Mm-hmm. And he did not want that to happen. So I think the principle, carry it over into our lives today. What's God looking for? A good and honest heart with no deceit and no guile.
Wow. I kind of sense that with, you know, that principle of like if you had a balance and you're ordering a pound of bologna and yet you're using 3/4 pound balance.
Exactly.
It's on the scale, you know, you're really robbing the customer, even though it looks outwardly like it's balanced. The weight is unjust.
Exactly. It's kind of like, practically speaking, it's like the price we're paying at the gas pumps today.
Somebody's got their thumb on the scale, Pastor Cooper.
Somebody's making a lot of money.
They got their thumb on the scale.
And they're making it all off of us.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor Cooper, great to hear from you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Are we going to see you and a group from Brooklyn down here at the conference?
Absolutely.
We're very much looking forward to being with you.
Okay. God bless you. Love you, gentlemen.
God bless you. Love you, too.
Suzette has written to us on Facebook Live and says, could you talk a little bit about Psalm 37, verse 4, regarding the topic today? And that says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I think that's a Matthew 6:33 Old Testament correlation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same principle.
Yep. Because the thing that you delight in, you seek.
That's right.
You know, so I think it's a softer way to say than say seek, but it's the same thought. I'm delighting, I'm seeking. And in both cases, which is interesting, here in the 37:4 of Psalms, it says the desires of your heart, which is interesting. And I've always thought about this way. He's not giving you the desires of your heart naturally. People always quote this verse that if I go after God, he's going to give me what I want. I look at it this way. God gives us a new heart in Ezekiel 36:26, and he will give you the desires of the new heart.
That's right.
Not the carnal heart. Oh, yeah, God, I want a Lamborghini, so I'm going to go to church every Sunday until God give me a Lamborghini. No, that's not what it means. That's not what he's saying here. Because he says in the previous verse, trust in the Lord. So your heart is already right in verse 3. And so then 4, you delight. In verse 5, you commit. So there's these action verbs that are happening because of a relationship with God, not because of a desire of the flesh, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and really, when you stop and think about it, when he says, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart, he's obviously addressing the new heart.
Yes.
And that's really what we want.
Oh.
Deep in our hearts, that's what we want. We get mixed up and we sometimes make the wrong decision because we are, again, thinking of those old desires and the natural man and what he wants. But there is another translation, I think it's the New Living Translation, that says, you know, enjoy serving God and he'll give you what you want.
Wow.
But in the sense of the new heart.
Yeah, not a Tesla.
No, exactly. That's our producer is hoping to get one of those, but he better start delighting himself in the Lord a lot more.
Yeah.
He wants one of those.
He's going to have to do like the overtime delighting for Tesla.
Amen. Phone lines are open. You can still join us, friends. And we have plenty of time to take your calls at 800-338-7060 and locally 410-483-3700. When our priorities are not God's priorities, sometimes what it takes is a crisis to get us to realize and to realign what our priorities should be. And I think that's important because sometimes we look at ourselves and we think to ourselves, I'm not living with the right scale of priorities here. Or we might look at someone else that we love and we want to see them succeed spiritually and say, they're not seeking first the kingdom of God, and I see trouble in their lives and I see heartache in their lives. And we think to ourselves, if they could just get that priority straight, things would happen. But, and God knows that too. And I mean, God may allow us to move ahead with our own scale of priorities, not his, until we, you know, hit a wall, until it takes a crisis to get us to realign those priorities. But I think that that's the goodness of God.
Wow.
I think, you know, it's Psalm 119, I believe it's verses 67, 71, and 75, where the psalmist talked about affliction. You know, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now that I have been afflicted, I'm keeping your word. God, you have in your faithfulness afflicted me. Again, that's the affliction of grace, because God will use it to get our attention and to bring us back where we can start that balance in our lives with Matthew 6:33 as the foundation.
That's a hard word, because many people don't see, I guess over time you understand that God used the crisis to bring me in balance. But most of us, we think the crisis is just the crisis. Many folks, they don't have a crisis, but they feel trapped. The word I hear a lot when I talk to believers about their life and when things are not, they feel trapped. I'm trapped in my job. I'm trapped in a relationship. I'm trapped in this cycle, this vicious cycle of habits of life that I'm living. I feel trapped, and I know the balance is wrong, and I don't know how to get out. I don't know how to get out. And so most of us, if you said, okay, how many of you think your life is out of balance? A lot of hands would go up. And the word they would use were, I'm busy, but then I feel like I'm busy, but I can't be unbusy because everything in my life seems to be necessary. And what he's talking about in Matthew 6:33, he's not talking about not making important things unimportant. What he's saying is that there's a priority in my thinking about what's important, right? Not so much I shouldn't be concerned about things. But what am I concerned about concerning me? I need to be concerned about what concerns me, and I find that with God's mind. It's very, very challenging when you look at your life, you see all your finances, you see your relationships, you see all these things, your health, all these issues, and they're serious issues. These are not light things. But you feel like, I'm trapped, I can't get out of this, how do I get out? That's why people want to escape, they want to get out, they feel trapped. And the reason why they're trapped is they're trying to solve their circumstances instead of setting their affections in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, on Christ and Christ alone.
I mean, it was a crisis in most cases
that
brought us to Christ in the first place. I mean, I don't think that I would have come to Christ without a crisis, without, you know, reaching the depths of despair, without realizing I don't know why I'm alive. I don't have any purpose. My life and my heart is empty, despite the fact that I keep trying to fill it with anything and everything that this world offers me. It's not doing it. So it took a crisis to bring me to Christ. Therefore, I wouldn't be surprised if God still employs the crisis, not to bring us to Christ, but to ultimately make us more like Christ. I think that that's what God uses. I'm sure he does. And I'm sure that maybe it's not his first option. You know, maybe it would be more like I would love my people to cooperate, to yield, to present their bodies a living sacrifice. But if that doesn't work,
right.
I mean, he's committed to fulfill his purpose. And that purpose is Romans 8:29, is to make us and to conform us into the image of his son.
Yeah.
And I think that God will go to great lengths to do that.
Yeah, he'll do the best method, right? What was the book that years ago by Pastor, Crisis to Process?
Yes, that's it.
What you just said is pretty much it. It's crisis to process. Because the crisis, oftentimes the crisis is not this instant change, but in a practical sanctification, it's a process of moving toward that, where I decrease, and he increases and I decrease, right?
Amen. Let's go back to the phones. Barbara is joining us right here from the Baltimore area with a prayer request. Barbara, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thank you, Pastor Love and Pastor Nella. Would you please pray for my son's girlfriend? They were in an automobile accident a few months ago, but she is extremely bad condition and extremely painful. She's had to have a piece of metal put in her neck.
Wow.
She has two broken bones in her her back and her sternum, and now she's developed a hernia, and she can't walk without cruciating pain. And she texted me last night. She's losing feelings in her legs and arms, and she's praying that that will come back. And she has to go on oxygen, and
wow,
she's really, really bad. So if we could just pray for her. Her name's Melissa.
Father, we do. We pray for Melissa. Barbara has informed me earlier about this accident. It was quite serious. And now here she is with the repercussions of this. And Lord, we just pray, first and foremost, that you would use what has happened to bring her to a saving knowledge of your son, Jesus, if she hasn't already made that decision.
She has.
She has. So good. Lord, we then use these physical challenges to develop a deeper trust in you. And then for the healing of her body, Father. It sounds very, very complicated, but you're the great physician. You're the one that we can turn to when we don't know where to turn. You're the one that can heal when healing seems lost and impossible. So we pray out of your great love and your great mercy for her, bring a healing into her body, Lord, and just supernaturally heal her, and may she recognize that you did it, and may you be glorified as a result of it. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Carol reached out to us on YouTube Live. Says, grace adjustments with Christ's mind controlling us through the Holy Spirit. Good message. Thank you, pastors. Thank you, Carol. Thanks for reaching out to us today in the Grace Hour. We still have time to take your calls, friends, so don't hesitate. Go to your phone. Plenty of time for you to call, but you got to get to your phone right away, 800-338-7060. And the local number here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700.
Pastor Love, let's do this with the remainder of the time. Let's think of some practical ways that I can observe myself and see that I'm out of balance. Because oftentimes, I was talking to a podiatrist. He was telling me that your body self-adjusts. So if you've got a problem in one part of your body, your knees, your shoulders, your hips will all realign themselves when you're walking, and you think you're walking okay, when really someone stands behind you and they see, okay, your right foot pronates out, or your left foot pronates in, or your shoulders just like, it's your body, so you think you feel okay, but you have no idea that you're completely out of balance. Someone has to look at your shoes, they'll look at the way you stand, the way you sit, and you're out of balance, you don't even know it. So some practical ways I could look at my life and say, am I out of balance? 2 Corinthians 13:8, I examine myself. That's one. Another one is, do I find myself spending less time with God as a consistent habit? Am I habitually spending less time with God? For instance, maybe my prayer life is shorter. I'm not talking about for a day or a week. I'm talking about when you look at your life, and you just you observe your life, and you just see, am I spending less time with God? Am I spending less time in the Word? So prayer, even church attendance. Maybe I went to church 3 times a week or 2 times a week 3 years ago. Now I go once a month. Is the activity of God being subtracted from my life? And if so, and of course I can justify it. I'm busy, things are happening. Okay, but small by small, this life will take inches away from your life with God. Inches away. Just pull it away, little by little. All of a sudden now, I leave after church right away. I don't have any time for any fellowship. I used to be early, now I come very late. There's little small things that eat away at the life of God. But those are some that I thought of.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because if somebody's physical body was out of line, you know, we would say to them, well, you need an adjustment.
Mm.
And God says the same thing to us. And to go back to that verse you mentioned, 2 Corinthians 13:5, where Paul says, examine yourselves. Now, he didn't just leave it there. Mm-hmm. He said, examine yourself and see whether or not you're functioning in the realm of faith. Mm. Because I think if we're left just to examine ourselves, we could come away condemned. Yeah. You know, looking at it. Don't become introspective. That's not what Paul is sharing here in 2 Corinthians 13:5. But are you functioning in the realm of the faith? Mm. Are you letting God love you? And whatever adjustments have to be made, as Carol pointed out, remember, these are grace adjustments.
Beautiful.
Grace adjustments. Don't think, you know, sometimes the typical believer might think, okay, yeah, that's it. Got to read my Bible more. Got to pray more. Got to go to church more. Got to give more. And it always ends up, the translation of it is more effort, more effort, more effort, more merit, more works. No, that's not the point. It means just present yourself before the Lord and say, hey, maybe my priorities are a bit mixed up. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm surrendering all that I am, and make that adjustment for me. Mm. I know that you'll be faithful to do it through your grace.
Beautiful. Draw near. Hebrews 10:22. Draw near with a full assurance of faith. Draw near. That's the first step. Maybe my schedule doesn't change this week. Maybe my habits don't change this week. Maybe nothing changes, but in my mind, I make a decision. I'm going to draw near to God in my thinking. I'm going to draw near to God best way I can. I'm going to draw near to God. And then that thought reversal, maybe it's a resetting of my thinking, because maybe I've been taking thought about food, about raiment, about all these things. I've been taking thought. And God says, okay, let's recalibrate our thinking. Let's readjust our thinking. Let's get an alignment. Let's go to the spiritual chiropractor. The Holy Spirit comes in and readjusts my thinking. And then I draw near. And I don't draw near with a plan of change. I don't have a do-it-yourself program. Okay, God, now instead of a half an hour, it's going to go back to an hour. No, because I want God to lead me in revival. You cannot produce revival in your life. God has to lead you into revival. So God leads me into that, and suddenly my thinking's different. My choices are different, and I'm back in balance.
Amen. Well, as we wrap up the broadcast today, we hope that this program has helped you to draw nearer to God. And remember the promise of James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And I don't think it gets any better than that.
No,
so thanks so much for joining us today, friends, on this, the Tuesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We plan to be back with you a little over 24 hours from now, and excited about tomorrow's message as well, and for this theme as we develop it throughout the entire week. Please don't forget about the upcoming International Convention starting next Monday with, of course, the Maryland Bible College and Seminary Golf Tournament. But we hope you're making plans to be with us that week. It's going to be a wonderful week of fellowship and a lot of courage poured into our hearts. Until tomorrow, friends, may God bless you.